Nothing can ruin a holiday faster than a trip to the ER.
Despite them looking really fun, they're an absolute no.
And that's our list. 10 things to avoid gifting this holiday season.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
And I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
We're sisters and doctors who love diving into the intersection of parenting, health, and science.
Some might call us nerds. We call it being prepared.
From explaining the latest health policy changes to decoding nutrition labels, we're here to give you the facts and maybe a few laughs along the way.
Because whether you're navigating flexible spending accounts or your toddler's obsession with Band-Aids, every family could use a little help.
Have questions? Send them to rollingforwardshow@gmail.com. That's rollingforwardshow@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe. This is not medical advice. We're just giving some parenting guidance. So with that, let's dive in. So Alicia, it's December.
It is December. Today we're going to specifically talk about toys. What is safe? What is not safe? What should you be gifting children this holiday season? And what should you be avoiding?
Because nothing can ruin a holiday faster than a trip to the ER.
The Consumer Protection Safety Commission estimates that there's about 200,000 ER visits for toy-related injuries every year. And we want to make sure that your family is not one of them.
Yeah, I definitely would like my family to not be one of them. So what are some toys to avoid this holiday season?
So we came up with a list of the top 10 toys to avoid this holiday season. And the first on our list are Orbeez. Do you know what Orbeez are?
I don't.
Orbeez are also known as water beads or super absorbent polymers. They're these small little squishy circles that can expand exponentially in water up to 400 times their size, which is super fun, but also the problem.
They do look so fun when you see them.
They're kind of advertised as a really sensory toy and that they're great for kids to touch. These are all lies.
What's the problem with them?
So these are one of the most dangerous things on the market. They look like candy and kids love to put them in all sorts of places. They like to swallow them. They like to stick them up their nose. They like to see the stick them in their ears.
And what's dangerous about that?
So not only when they're placed in water do they keep expanding, but the human body is this nice, warm, damp location.
I heard it's 60% water. Is that right?
Oh, you know, it's been a long time since medical school. But when kids swallow or put these up their nose, they continue to expand and it can cause a significant amount of damage.
So basically with these water beads, the concern is if kids swallow them, they'll just keep expanding and they could cause, say, an obstruction or a rupture of their insides?
Yes. So that's exactly right. I think this is, of all the things on the list, this is the thing I see maybe the most often or can be the most dangerous. When you swallow them, they keep expanding in your stomach, in your intestines, and it can lead to a lot of problems. It can lead to vomiting. It can lead to full bowel obstruction. It's so large that it blocks the passageway of any other material. It can lead your intestines to rupture, and it can have some life-threatening injuries.
So it sounds like this is not only an ER visit, but this could be a surgical emergency.
This is a surgical emergency. And so when kids stick it up their nose or ears, the same thing that can happen. It just keeps growing and growing, and it can lead to irreversible damage of the bones in your ears. And at our hospital, the policy is that you have to call the ear, nose, and throat doctors immediately without kind of touching them and bringing them straight to the operating room to try and have them removed as safely and quickly as possible.
So water beads are a no.
Despite them looking really fun, they're an absolute no.
There has been more concerted efforts to help limit or ban water beads as toys. And there has been a little bit of success here, and it might be a little bit more difficult for you to find them in the children's section of the store, which is great. However, water beads are hidden all throughout the store in a lot of various ways. And it's important to know that because they might be sneaking into your home without you even realizing it. For example, they're available as home decorations. They're commonly used in making flower arrangements, flower bouquets, putting them in vases. They're available as gardening supplies. They're available as craft supplies. So being really cognizant, knowing what water beads are and making sure that they're not sneaking into your home in other ways.
Yeah, they just sound so dangerous. It's just totally not worth it.
They're really, really dangerous. And I think they're like sneaky dangerous. There are some things that you know are dangerous, but still is fun. And these, I think, are people don't realize that they're this dangerous.
What's something that you know is dangerous, but is still fun?
I think that comes with hoverboards and kind of motorized electric scooters, motorized vehicles. regular scooters are already a huge cause of bruises, of broken bones, of head injuries, and speed just adds more risks and worse injuries, and also oftentimes the addition of traffic.
So it sounds like next on the list are our motorized electric scooters, vehicles, and hoverboards. A ton of fun, but I think all of us parents, when we see it, we know that there's that risk.
So the AAP, so that American Academy of Pediatrics, recommend that children under 16 do not ride any type of motorized or electric scooter. And that's a pretty old age, 16. So no Lime scooters, no like fun electric battery-operated scooter for your 9-year-old.
So what you're saying is my toddler should not have hoverboard.
Absolutely not.
And how about if she's got doing an outdoor activity, maybe it's not an electric scooter, but just a manual scooter.
So having caution, making sure that you're supervising your children with a kind of non-motorized scooter, still a big cause of broken bones, still a cause of head injuries, still a cause of cuts that require sutures, but being more cautious, making sure that you're watching them, making sure that they're not going down hills, staircases, making sure they're not on the street.
So it sounds like there's a risk inherent to any of these activities for kids, but the concern about the motorized vehicles or the hoverboards are that they just move faster. And so the type of injuries that happen are just that much more severe.
Yes, exactly. So the injuries that you're getting when you're now 20 miles per hour faster are just significantly more elevated, and the risk of death is significantly more elevated. So while you can fall in and break your arm on a non-motorized scooter, you can fall and die on a motorized scooter.
Okay, falling and dying. Something I would not like to do this holiday season.
It would be a little bit less fun for Christmas.
A lot less fun.
Before we move on, the other thing I want to mention about hoverboards, which our dad has been wanting forever, every time he sees someone go by on a hoverboard, he thinks it looks so cool, is that hoverboards inherently have a problem where they can overheat and they can actually catch fire.
That sounds really scary.
So being really cautious if you have one at your house.
Yeah, and we were just impacted by a fire in our apartment building. One of our neighbors had a fire. Luckily, no one was injured in it, but it caused significant damage to their apartment and surrounding apartments where we have been displaced now for months.
So I work every Christmas in the emergency department.
One of the joys of being a doctor.
And last Christmas, I saw at least 3 or 4 families come in on Christmas Day with hoverboard injuries that had been given to their child that specific day.
Okay, so no water beans, no motorized vehicles, electric scooters, that kind of thing, or hoverboards. How about another really popular gift item? I know you're going to have an opinion about this one. Trampolines.
Trampolines. Trampolines, I think, are something that we talk a lot about in pediatrics. They are, especially in the emergency department, a cause of many of our visits. It causes a lot of sprains, a lot of broken bones, both of your arms and your legs, lots of cuts that require stitches. But it also causes some more serious injury. They're rarer, but they can cause concussions and they can cause spinal cord injuries, neck injuries, brain injuries, injuries that cause paralysis. These generally occur from landing incorrectly, from flips or jumps that go wrong, from falling or landing on other children. So like if a child's lying down and someone kind of falls and their feet land on their neck or other places. According to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, about 3/4 of serious trampoline injuries occur when 2 or more children are jumping on the trampoline at the same time. The like double bouncing, the extra force that kids love. And that is kind of one of the most dangerous parts about trampolines.
I used to love that double jump. But listen, Alicia, how about those in-ground trampolines? Does that make it any safer?
It does make it a little bit safer. So the netting around the trampolines and the in-ground trampolines, a little bit safer because there's not that risk of kind of falling off the trampoline a large distance. You can still fall off, but not like large distance to the ground. So in-ground trampolines and the safety nets that we're selling around do make trampolines a little bit safer, but there's no option that like fully eliminates the risk of trampolines. There's no trampoline that fully eliminates the risk of any neck injuries, of any serious head injuries. It's recommended that if you do have a trampoline or that if you're thinking about buying one, to always supervise children on trampolines and to minimize the number of kids jumping at once.
And this is why my husband calls you Dr. No.
I am Dr. No. I say no to all the fun things.
But it's also really important to keep kids safe. So we've talked about water beads. We've talked about these electric vehicles, hoverboards, trampolines. Anything else that I should be on the lookout for?
So our list is 10 things, so we got a couple more to go through. The next one I want to talk about is any toy that involves a button or a coin battery.
What is a button battery? I've heard that, but I don't know what it is.
So they're the really flat or disc-shaped batteries. They are used to power lots of things from like old school watches, not like your Apple Watch, to greeting cards, the ones that open up and sing. There's a really thin battery in there, to hearing aids. And they're sometimes the size of like a pencil eraser, and sometimes they're the size of a quarter, and they're really flat. What's really dangerous about button batteries is that they have a large store of energy, and it can discharge when it touches the right substance. Unfortunately, the GI tract is the right substance. And so when kids swallow or ingest these batteries, it can cause burns throughout their entire GI system. And so it can cause severe burns to the esophagus, to the stomach, and the GI tract. It can actually burn through and cause a really big hole, or what's called a rupture. And this is also a surgical emergency.
Wow, these sound so unsafe, and it sounds like it's really easy to get them into your house.
It's super easy to get them into your house, and that's why it's really important that if you're buying any type of electronic toy, you have to make sure the batteries are secured and that they are like require screws to shut the like to contain the batteries and that they're not easily removable.
Okay. Anything else I should be on the lookout for?
The big thing about button batteries I actually want to mention, they are in all AirTags, and AirTags are really easy to open. So making sure that if you have AirTags at home, that they are not accessible to small children and that they're in some type of container that prevents them from opening easily.
Okay. Anything else I should be on the lookout for this holiday season?
So I think the next big one are magnets, or like these magnetized sets.
What's so dangerous about magnets?
When I'm talking about the quote high-powered magnet sets, these are your Bucky balls, your really small balls, or your cubes that kind of form shapes. When multiple magnets are ingested, so if you swallow two separate magnets, they can attract each other in your body through your organs. So if you have one in your stomach and one in your small intestines, they can attract each other and kind of rip through all your intestines to each other and cause hole, like poke holes in your organs. It can lead to blockages because they won't move. It can lead to infection, and it can lead to really serious life-threatening injury.
You would think that these wouldn't be allowed.
They were banned by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which we talked about in 2014, but the ban was lifted in 2016, and we saw a large rise in magnet-related injuries in the emergency department after that.
So what should we worry about with these toys that have like small loose parts?
These are things like building sets, marbles, doll accessories. These are all choking hazards.
So it sounds like the problem with a lot of these toys is that kids just eat them.
Exactly. Small kids naturally put things in their mouth. That's a normal development. Older kids sometimes are doing silly things, have them on their tongue, and then they accidentally inhale them.
This weekend when we had people over for Thanksgiving, my daughter was playing with Play-Doh and she started eating it. And our dad was like, oh no, she's eating Play-Doh. I mean, just naturally kids are going to eat anything that they're playing with, especially at the age of 1, 2, or 3. And so these toys, when you're thinking about kids, you want to make sure that it's safe for them to eat. And that's something that's got all these small loose parts isn't going to be safe.
Play-Doh is actually a reusable modeling product, and it's made mostly of water, flour, and salt.
So those are all things that she eats. Probably not at those concentrations. It's not great, but at least it's not something that's going to send us to the ER.
It can be a choking hazard.
I mean, I feel like everything can be a choking hazard.
Depending on the size.
Yes.
But talking about choking hazards, so these toys with small loose parts, they're also things like stuffed animals or your stuffies. If they have buttons for eyes instead of like eyes that are sewn in, those buttons can easily be bitten off, ripped off, and swallowed or inhaled. Rocks, finger puppets, lots of different kind of small toys. And the general guidance from pediatrician is that if you're in doubt that a toy might be too small, you can try passing it through a toilet roll tube. If it is too big or if it gets stuck, then you're safe. If it passes all the way through easily, then it's probably too small.
Yeah, this is so true for kids because my daughter is constantly putting things in her mouth. So it sounds like the things that we've talked about so far are these Orbeads, these water beads that are choking hazards. They expand when people eat them. These motorized vehicles and hoverboards because they can catch on fire, and the high speeds make accidents really dangerous. Trampolines. Any toy that has a button or a coin battery, that flat type of battery, because those can be really dangerous when swallowed.
things that are magnets or magnetized sets, since the magnets, if swallowed, can attract each other and cause a surgical emergency, or toys that have loose parts or that come apart because of the choking hazards. What else should we be worried about when we're thinking about people giving toys to our toddler?
So continuing on the choking hazard, one of the most common causes of choking death in kids is actually latex balloons.
That is so sad because she loves balloons. She loves balloons from a distance. I just want to say to her pediatrician aunt, she does not get balloons, but she does love balloons. She sees, today we were walking to daycare and there was a balloon set off in the middle of the street. A car was definitely going to run over and pop it. But she was just so excited by how it was bouncing and the colors of it.
So balloons, uninflated latex balloons, are super dangerous. So young children that are like old enough that they want to help blow up balloons, they often accidentally inhale the uninflated balloon while trying to inflate it. So when they're drawing in that breath, or they think they're blowing out, but they're actually blowing in, they actually inhale the whole balloon.
I remember being a kid and how hard it was to blow up a balloon.
Super hard to blow up a balloon. Kids also suck or chew on uninflated balloons or pieces of broken balloons. They attempt to stretch it around their mouth. They attempt to like blow bubbles with it. It's that really fun latex texture. And this is super, super dangerous because the balloon pieces or the balloon itself can mold itself to the shape of your trachea. It can mold itself to the shape of your throat and completely block any air from growing through.
Wow, that's really scary to hear.
So the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which we've talked about several times, they recommend that children under the age of 8 do not play with latex balloons that are uninflated. They have a little asterisk on their website and it says inflated balloons are okay. But the second that one pops, every piece needs to be immediately cleaned up.
It's really hard to find all the pieces once it pops.
It's really hard to find all the pieces before your child finds one or sneakily finds one. And so for the most part, I generally say stay away from latex balloons. Mylar balloons might be where to go until your children are old enough.
I bet this is also not safe for pets.
Also not safe for pets.
Anything else I should be on the lookout for?
So next on the list are projectile toys or spinning or flying toys. And the reason why they're on the list is because what goes up must come down.
I learned that in school.
And when they're super fun and you shoot them up in the air and you're staring at it and you're looking, and then it comes down and hits you in the eye.
What was that toy that you had that I really loved? It was like a little flower person that you would pull a string and it would shoot up into the air.
It was like a little fairy,
yes.
And that she would fly. It was like a flower fairy. Yeah, don't get your child one of those.
They were so fun.
They were really fun, but unfortunately it causes a ton of eye injuries. It causes like cornea injuries. It causes blindness. You especially want to avoid ones that have hard edges, glass or metal. In this category of like spinning, flying toys, I also include projectiles. So these are things like BB guns, Nerf guns, shooting projectiles. You want to make sure that anything that you're shooting, that like if it hits someone in the eye, it can be safe. Some of these toys have like rounded edges and like suction cups and like ways to make these safer, but you always want to be on the lookout because any of these hitting you in the eye can lead to blindness.
I hear that you need your eyes.
It is better to have your eyes, but lots of people survive without them.
Yes. So just in terms of eye safety, it sounds like these are not a great set of toys.
It's just not a great setup to launch things into the sky and then watch them fall down onto your face because kids are not the best with distance and coordination.
I've seen that. My toddler is not great with eye-hand coordination, and she loves to just watch things.
The next one on my list is a little bit self-explanatory. It's toys with electric heating elements.
What are some examples of these kinds of toys?
The Easy Bake Oven.
The Easy Bake Oven. I always wanted one.
I always wanted one too. We did not have an Easy Bake Oven growing up. We still have trauma about not having an Easy Bake Oven.
We survived though. We're here to tell the tale.
But anything with any type of electrical heating element, you just want to be really cautious around burns, around fires, and around electrocution. Because if you take this electric heating element and then you throw it in the bath or you get it wet, there can be some issues.
That all very much makes sense. And then I had one that I wanted to add to this list as well. So you've made us a great list that has included things like the water beads, the motorized electric scooters and vehicles, trampolines, toys that have the coin or button batteries, magnets, toys that have small loose parts, latex balloons, the projectile spinning toys, and then toys that have electric heating elements. And if this feels like a lot, we will make some little graphics and post them on our social media.
But the one that I wanted to add was DNA testing. For some reason, every time around the holidays, you get different companies that decide that they're going to advertise DNA testing as a great holiday gift for your family. And as a psychiatrist, as a person who meets with people about their family histories and their traumas and different things that have happened in their lives, I just think that this is not a great holiday gift.
Why not? What are things that could go wrong?
So much can go wrong with this. You know, I think family is so much more than biology, and that I think family and family history is so complicated, and that these are conversations that are best had directly with someone, sitting down with your family and asking about your family history, asking about where you come from, instead of opening an email and discovering where it says your DNA is from. And this is in addition to the privacy concerns that come with a lot of these companies, where it's really not clear how your genetic information is used. And so while DNA testing to better understand your family history or your genetic risk profiles is something that you may want to engage in order to better understand your own history and your medical history, it's not something that I recommend gifting to another person as a casual, here's something to do on Friday night.
Surprise!
Surprise! I think it's something that is best taken with some serious conversation and reflection, not gifted to another person.
And that's our list. 10 things to avoid gifting this holiday season.
So Alicia, or should I say Dr. No, is there anything fun that my daughter can play with?
There are lots of fun things that your daughter can play with. They just can't have any of those things we just talked about.
Have you got any examples if people are about to go out shopping? I just heard from our daughter's daycare that she's going to be participating in her first Secret Santa. Did not know that was a thing that one-year-olds did, but it is. And so when we're thinking about that, what are some things that we should be looking for?
So toys are best when they encourage imagination, when they grow with the child, when they kind of encourage growth of milestones, like when they encourage development. And there are lots of really fun games that are able to do this for all ages.
That sounds super fun. I love imagination.
So the first one I want to talk about is art supplies.
I love art supplies.
And this ranges from anything from crayons and markers to like really fun art kits, clays, Play-Dohs, model magic. I used to love model magic when I was little.
We are a model magic household. We buy the tiny, you can get the different sampler kits where there's a lot of small ones of all these different colors and we just open one at a time and our daughter totally plays with it.
Art supplies overall just make really great gifts. Kids get super excited when getting a new art kit set, and it really helps build creativity and it helps improve fine motor skills.
That is so cool. My favorite art supply, I have to say right now, the thing that we are loving is Crayola makes those markers that only draw when you use the special paper. Because right now our daughter is into drawing on everything. So she'll take the markers out and she'll try to draw on the wall, but they only mark and have color if it's on the special paper.
Those markers are amazing and such a game changer in people's households.
Yes, love, love those. And then if I know that it's building her imagination and her fine motor skills, even better. Something else that she loves, it's like a drawing board. What is it called?
Those are called LCD drawing tablets.
Yes. It's basically a board. It's like an old Etch-a-Sketch that she draws on with a marker, a crayon, and then she hits a button and it refreshes.
They're incredible. They're really, really fun. And there's all sorts of games you and your kid can play together on them. There's all sorts of games that they can create themselves. And it's non-electronic. It's not screen time. And they're very safe.
She loves to have us, she'll ask us to draw things. She'll ask us to draw a crocodile or a monkey on it and then erase it. And then she'll draw, say, a fish. I mean, her fish doesn't really look like a fish yet. It looks like a scribble, but she loves those.
They are super, super fun and a great, like very affordable. I think they're $10, like very affordable, will be reused many a time gift for young kids and actually older kids too that find these really fun. They're great for long car rides. They're great for plane trips.
Okay. So number one, art stuff, things that are reusable, things that help with fine motor skills, things that help creativity, things that build the imagination. What else should I be looking for in a Secret Santa gift from my one-year-olds?
I really like toys that help with pretend play. So things like puppets, dolls, different kind of stuffed animals, things that help children pretend through toy characters. They help children learn to use their words. They help them create stories to imitate, describe, and cope with the things that they're seeing.
We've got a lot of really fun puppets here, and they all have different jobs, and they're very diverse as well. We have puppets that are astronauts and doctors and bakers and police officers.
It's really important when you're kind of crafting your toy box to make sure that you're not reinforcing racial and gender stereotypes. And so having puppets or dolls that are not following conventional norms is really important to make sure that your child knows that they can be anything that they want to be. So you can have stay-at-home dads, or you can have female police officers, male nurses, making sure that you have a range of gender and racial options.
That totally makes sense. And this also feels like a toy that can really grow with you. I know with our niece and nephew, who are now 10 and 12, one of the things that they've loved about our puppet theater and our puppets is when, as they've gotten older, we've given them tasks where we've told them, hey, make a play and have it follow these three rules. And then we come up with three rules. There needs to be a song. There needs to be an act of cooperation. And someone needs to bake something. Just different rules that we come up with that are fun that they have to follow. And then the other thing that they get to do is not only make up the play, but they get to make tickets, or they get to make theater programs that they want to. You can really just expand this as much as you want with the imagination part.
Pretend play is amazing. There are so many things that you can do. I think theater is a really great one, whether it's puppets or other types of theater. I think making tickets, making programs is really exciting for your show. Another one that's really popular, and I know that my niece loves, is mail. Like having mailboxes, sending pretend mail, mailing things from person to person. So anything that is encouraging this imagination, this pretend play, can keep them entertained for hours.
Absolutely.
But it's also really good for their development.
Alicia went on vacation and came back with a mailbox for our daughter. And she loves to put things in the mailbox, take it out of the mailbox. She doesn't really know about mail yet, but she already loves it.
My favorite game growing up was mail.
Mail is such a great game.
My friends and I would create mailboxes, and then we would hide them and then send letters to each other.
And we actually live close to the post office museum where kids can just play with mail. And it's true that our daughter loves to play with mail.
She loves to send the mail.
Yes. You have to take the letters and you have to sort them and deliver it. She does not sort it. She just delivers it based on however she wants, but she loves that. So these pretend puppets, dolls, all of this, this totally is great for kids. Anything else that you would recommend?
As always, I wouldn't be a pediatrician if I didn't recommend safety equipment. Helmets, knee pads, elbow pads, anything that keeps you safe.
What's a good way to get kids to use this? Because I imagine people have helmets, they have safety pads, but sometimes kids don't want to wear them.
So you should allow your kids to choose it in their favorite color, and then you can decorate it and make it fun. Have them put stickers on it, have them use glitter pens, have them kind of color or paint it whatever way makes them feel more empowered to wear it.
That is such a smart idea to have it really be their own personal item.
My general rule is that any outdoor activity involving wheels requires safety gear.
We have actually been practicing with our daughter of wearing her safety gear inside. So if she gets on her little bike, she's indoors. Her bike doesn't have pedals. She's not going anywhere. But in order to practice wearing the helmet, we have her wear her helmet if she's riding her bike indoors.
It's because her aunt's a pediatrician.
And as much as we love you, we don't want to go visit you at work. Anything else that we could pick up for the holidays for kids?
Books are always a great thing to buy.
I love books.
Books are always amazing. There's an endless amount of books that every child will love. I love walking through like small owned bookstores and walking through all of the kind of really fun local books, all of the new books for kids, all of the really diverse books that they now have for children, which is really amazing.
There are so many great options. And if your child or a child that you know may be developing their reading skills, I think a really great option to look at too is graphic novels, because the pictures can help tell the story and it can really draw people into a story and help them develop their reading skills. And it's such a good idea to go to your local bookstore and just talk to them. What are the kids buying? What are the kids reading? I find that my local bookshop always has the best recommendations.
They always have a pulse of like what is interesting, what people are liking right now, what are the best, coolest new books. And if you're ever looking to buy books for kids, your local bookstore will hook you up.
Know it all. They have seen it all. They're seeing who's coming in, what's selling out, and what people want. And then one that I wanted to add to the list, one of my favorite things to get, and this is especially true if your kid's at an age where they have play dates or if you have siblings in the house, multiple kids, I am a huge fan of cooperative board games.
Cooperative board games are a must. It avoids all the fights of Pretty Pretty Princess of who gets the crown.
Oh my gosh. And so if people aren't familiar, what are cooperative board games?
Cooperative board games are when everyone is working towards a group goal. So everybody wins or everybody loses, and it really forces people to work together.
These have been a total game changer in our household with our niece and nephew. When they first started coming over for summers and spending time with us, they would want to play a game like Guess Who, where one person wins and one person loses. And as fun as they would have playing that game, there was a lot of emotions to manage afterwards. And when we switched over to cooperative board games, we got something like, let's say, Outfoxed, where you work together to identify the suspect based on clues, and either you both win or you both lose. And it made the experience so much more enjoyable and so much easier as a parent.
There's less throwing of the board games, yes. Which is a huge win, but it's also really good for kids to work together. And that's an important part of development and of growth. And so these games are really encouraging kids to think together, to think aloud together, to build off each other, and to kind of make plans based off of what other people's decisions are.
So favorites in our house have been Cahoots, What Next, Cauldron Quest, and then Outfox, which I mentioned. Those are ones that we have played over and over in our household, and we've had so many fun nights, unlike before when we were playing more traditional games like Monopoly, which often ended in tears and drama.
The thing about cooperative board games that I will mention, I think a lot of people think that they're one and done. You play one time and then you know the story. And that's not at all true. You can play them hundreds of times. They are still fun every time. There are different plot twists and turns, and it's different every time you play. And so it is not a one-time game. It is a worthwhile investment for a household. There are also really fun cooperative board games for adults.
Absolutely. And what's funny is when my niece and nephew have played these cooperative board games, they haven't really been able to tell the difference between them versus traditional competitive board games. They haven't seen that they're working together. They just know that they're playing a game and they really enjoy it. And they haven't gotten that there's some sort of gimmick to it, because there isn't. These are really fun, elaborate stories that they're able to engage in and play. So Alicia, do you want to recap what our recommendations are when I'm going to the store with my toddler and choosing what she's going to gift her first Secret Santa?
So we are always encouraging non-electronic games, games that foster growth, games that foster development. And so we just highlighted five here today that we think are really helpful. So art supplies, art kits, always a huge one. Puppets, dolls, any type of stuffed animals that's encouraging imaginative play. Safety equipment. Books, especially diverse books, some graphic novels for young readers. And cooperative board games.
Those are our five. If you have others that you love, please drop us an email at rollinforwardshow@gmail.com. That's rollinforwardshow@gmail.com. Because we'd love to hear what your favorite safe toys are for kids, especially because the Secret Santa is due next week. So I could use all the help I can get. So Alicia, as I'm going off into the holiday season, my daughter is going to be getting gifts from different people. We're going to be getting gifts for different people. Do you have any tips that I can just take away for how to ensure the toys that she's playing with, that she's giving, that she's receiving are safe?
Yeah, so there are lots of toys that are safe that aren't on this list.
So not everything is a doctor no?
Not everything is a no. And so we came up with a list of ways for you to make sure that toys are safe.
That's exactly the list I need right now.
So the first thing is to look at how well made the toys are. Making sure that the pieces don't fall off easily, making sure that everything is secure, none of the stitching is loose, no kind of arm will fall off.
And this is to see if anything's a choking hazard.
And I guess I can also do that toilet roll tube test that you were saying, where I could put a toy through, and if it's larger than that, then it's likely safe.
Exactly. And so that's for children under 3. The size of a windpipe of a child is their size of their like finger. And so you want to make sure that things are a lot bigger than that. And so we generally say for children under 3, it has to be bigger than that roll from toilet paper or like a paper towel roll.
Makes sense. What are some other tips we can take away?
You want to make sure that it's like the true toy. It's like the manufactured toy. There are some really expensive toys, and we find lots of advertisements for cheaper versions or knockoffs. These generally don't follow the same safety standards as the like original toy. And so it often is worth investing a little bit more into that real kind of manufactured toy.
What are some hazards of getting a knockoff or a cheaper version?
So they don't kind of go up to the same safety standards. They're not always measured to the same kind of level. And so there might be different chemicals in there that aren't in the original. The big one that we notice is lead paint.
Oh, that's scary.
There might be smaller parts or things that are sturdy. It's just not as well constructed. And so things might fall apart easier, or there might be small parts, pointy parts that can fall off. They're not as sturdy. And oftentimes when their paint is less kind of good or less expensive, they're more flammable.
Ooh, fires are bad.
Fires are bad. We want to avoid that. Then you always want to make sure that children are playing with age-appropriate toys in the way that they were intended. So it might be really fun to take a toy that was meant to be used one way and use it in a totally different way, which is great for your imagination. Not always great for how the toy is designed.
What's an example of that?
I don't know.
Oh, I've got an example of that. My daughter has one of those cozy coupe cars, and she loves to just sit in it and ride around in it. But over Thanksgiving, when we had some other kids that were here, they were turning it upside down and trying to get it into it that way. I imagine that's not safe.
That is not safe. Cozy Coupes, we didn't talk about. Cozy Coupes are an example of a toy with wheels that are surprisingly very safe. Very few Cozy Coupe related injuries.
Oh, I'll take it.
I've seen only one in the emergency department, and it was very minor.
I guess that's why our favorite pediatrician aunt gifted us a Cozy Coupe for Christmas last year.
Cozy Coupes, safe toys. Now I'm going to have like
relatively safe toys. You can always hurt yourself with anything. Just ask me. I've done it just standing on the ground.
Other tips I recommend, storing toys intended for older children away from where you store the toys for the younger children. So if you have a lovely kind of closet and you throw everything together, your 3-year-old might be grabbing your 10-year-old's building sets that have all those tiny little nails, all those tiny little screws. Not ideal.
This has been true in our house, where our niece and nephew love to play with their Legos, but we've been very careful that when they're done playing with their Legos, they store it away where our toddler can't reach them.
And that is the next tip I have, really important. Teach your children to put away their toys after use, especially if you have older and younger kids in the home and they are playing with some things that are not safe for the younger kids.
That sounds super important.
And then you should never allow riding toys, things with wheels, near stairs, windows, foot or car traffic, hills, or swimming pools. That's a big no-no.
I can remember getting injured in this way when I was a kid, riding on a hill where there was car traffic. Glad that I'm still here, so I imagine all of those are very dangerous.
All of those are really dangerous, and it is amazing how quick it happens, where a kid is just like riding like one of those little stand bikes that aren't even that dangerous and just fall down the stairs because they turn the wrong way. So being really cautious with stairs in your home, being really cautious with windows, with any doors, with any kind of slants, hills, pools especially.
That sounds super important. What is a way that people can keep updated if product safety information changes?
So you want to be on the lookout for product recalls, and there's two kind of websites that I generally recommend. The first is recall.gov. This provides information about toy safety recalls. This is done by the Consumer Protection Safety Commission that we've talked about earlier. The second website is safer.gov, and this allows you to report any toy safety concerns that you may have.
So if I get a new toy, it seems safe initially, passes all these tips that you've told me, but I get concerned as my daughter's playing with it, I could go to safer.gov and report my concerns. And if other people share those concerns, it could then lead to some type of recall or...
Exactly. And that's how they investigate, and then they talk to the company, and sometimes toys are recalled for a variety of reasons.
That these are some great tips. And we'll have all this on our social media. There's no pop quiz after this or anything like that. We'll make sure to post graphics with these tips on our social media for anyone who's interested and just wants a quick reference as you're out at the store, making sure that something is safe and makes sense for the holiday gift.
And you can comment about toys that you love in your home and things that have worked really well for you.
We would love to hear it. We have got a variety of kids of different ages in our household, and we're always on the lookout for fun and safe toys that are approved by our very own Dr. No. And with that, we are wrapping up another episode of Rolling Forward.
We hope you're leaving with more answers than questions, or at least maybe some better questions.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review. It will help more people find the show.
And hey, if you've got a burning question or a brilliant topic idea, email us at rollinforwardshow@gmail.com. That's Rolin, R-O-L-I-N, forwardshow@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. And remember, parenting isn't a science experiment.
But it sure doesn't hurt to have a couple of doctors in your corner. See you next time.